It's Tuesday, May 1st, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 761. Sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you. I tell you what, got lots to share with you. Lots of ways to win in the month of May. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you from Honolulu, Hawaii, from the studios here. And I tell you what, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. And I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out our great content. Of course, check out all of our archive podcasts available via the website as well. And really, once you get over there, it's real simple to get subscribed to the show. When you're at geeknewscentral.com, second column of the website, you're going to find the RSS feed, iTunes, Zune Marketplace, every place you can think of to actually stay subscribed and stay connected to the show. You definitely want to get hooked up with our newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show that gets sent out immediately following the show. It's not a chit-chat newsletter. It's strictly business where I send you the links to everything that we cover during the show. Of course, I want to make sure that you check out our blog posts. They're happening over there on a daily basis. Our writers are kicking out a lot of great content. Got a great team. And of course, we had a record amount of traffic in the month of April, and I hope to continue that trend in the month of May. Well, I tell you, it's been a week or so since I've been back here in the studio in Honolulu. It's great to be home, and I'm going to be here for a few weeks. And actually, my wife and I were poring over the schedule this evening, and we're trying to figure, where can we schedule a vacation this year? And honestly, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes, it's time for a family vacation. But just trying to figure out where to put it is proving to be very, very challenging. Of course, I want to welcome listeners that check into the show from around the world. Thanks for being here and thanks for staying subscribed. For all of you that are longtime Ohana members, of course, those of you new to the show, I want to welcome you as well. Well, I tell you, it's coming back from Florida after spending a week in the Jacksonville, Tampa area. I had a great time, but the humidity was starting to crank up a little bit there the end of the week in Jax, and I was actually happy to get on an airplane and get out of there before the true, you know, dearth of the humidity was to set upon Jacksonville in the Tampa area. But back here in Honolulu, absolutely beautiful, standard Hawaiian weather. Nice trade winds. I got the studio window open tonight. Got a little night jasmine blowing in here. I can smell that up, so it smells beautiful. My son came into the studio tonight. He says, "Dad, did you spray perfume in here?" And I'm like, "No, that's the night jasmine." And he's, "Oh, it smells so good." And it does. It just sits here. And even though the wind's blowing in a little bit, and I have a little extra hit to the microphone from time to time from the breeze, cannot complain. So, of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, there's obviously a great number of ways to watch or listen to the show. You can check us out always on the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on the Tech Podcast channel on those devices. So you find me in there under the news section. And, of course, you can always, again, like I said earlier, subscribe to the show. And that's really the most important part. And if you're, for those of you that are Ohana members, if you're looking for cool stuff to support the show, go to cafepress.com/Ohana store. Well, I tell you, GoDaddy has put together a great deal for us for May. And this is for all of you that have been really, at this point, kind of sitting on the sidelines and trying to decide what you want to do with setting up a blog or buying some domains. because I have a deal here that's going to go along the same theme that we've been promoting for most of the year here. But this is special. This is a special deal for those of you that are going to set up your GoDaddy accounts for the very first time or set up new accounts. We got a special offer, 25% off on your first order. Okay, so there's a little bit of details to this. Here's what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to basically buy almost any other product along with the main names. And when you get to the checkout counter, this works on your first order only. So if you load it up and get a bunch of different stuff, get a hosting account, get some domains, get some of the extra third-party services they have that's available at GoDaddy. And when you get to the end, if you enter the promo code 25May3, you'll be able to save that 25% on that entire order. That's a one-time use it or lose it code. And all you really got to do is go over to GoDaddy to support that. Of course, I've got a link up in the show notes. You can come over to geeknesscentral.com and actually come to the GoDaddy page at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you will find all of my promo codes. Now, here's something that a lot of you have been waiting for. We had an issue with our renewal.com code. And what was happening was the ComSale and ComSale 2, when people would go to check out, they weren't getting a discount on the .com, but they were still getting $7.99 on new .coms. So what I've got now is I've got a new code, ComSale 3. ComSale 3 will get you renewals.com renewals at $8.49. This is for new and existing customers. So you can get the new domain for $7.99 by using ComSale. ComSale 3 will now get you the .com renewal at $8.49, saving you $1.50 really on most domain on .coms when you're doing renewals. So definitely check that out. Of course, all my codes are there. Lots of promotions going on. Our NAB promotion where you're getting 25% off on the fourth generation hosting still available. All that stuff by using promo code NAB. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. And but anyway, lots of great deals here in the month of May. For those of you that are listeners of this show, share my codes. Basically post them other places, tweet them. And every time you purchase with a promo code from Geek News Central, you help me keep the lights on here at the show and allowing us to do what we do. And I'll be honest with you, without the GoDaddy sponsorship, without our Citrix GoToMeeting sponsorship and other supporters, we would not be able to continue to have all the great writers that are writing for Geek News Central, because all of our writers are paid positions. And a lot of the stuff that I do going around and bringing you content from CES, bringing you content from NAB, would not be possible without the support of the sponsors. So really, if you're a fan of the show, fan of the website, we definitely appreciate your patronage when you use the sponsors of the show. All right, let me go ahead here. And of course, as always, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. You can contact contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the hotline is open at 619-342-7365. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We actually have got a voicemail that came in, or a hotline call that came in between the last show. So we'll play that a little later during the show tonight. So, of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran here at Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com. All right, I want to talk just a little bit tonight about a couple of issues. And this is for all of you that have been longtime listeners of the show. Now, here we are. We're at show 761. And if you think about that, we've been going strong since October, or I've been going strong since October of 2004. And oftentimes, while I am completely motivated and completely dedicated in doing the show, it definitely is a long-term commitment to every Monday and Thursday night to record the show, make sure it gets out there. And you guys notice when I went to NAB, when I went to CES, and when I've been going to certain events, if I'm pushing it on time from a sleep perspective or just a schedule perspective, you guys notice that I'm skipped a few shows here and there. And for years, I never ever really missed an episode. But more and more, I'm learning, in order to maintain the long-term stability of the show, there are certain times when I just have to take a show off. And I'll let you know in advance when that's going to happen. It's usually going to be revolving around travel to big events or things that I'm going to be attending. But I just want to let you know that the reason I do that is, number one, to keep my sanity. Number two, gives me a nice kind of a quick little break, maybe a one or two show break from time to time. I'll let you know in advance. And when possible, I'll put on a guest host to take care of the show while I'm out. But I am also going to start trying to schedule from a health perspective, making sure that I'm going to be here for the long haul for all you guys, and long haul for my family is taking some vacations each year. You know, for many, many years, it's just been boom, 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 boom. Of course, working with Raw Voice and everything else, I haven't taken vacation, haven't had time to. And really thinking and reflecting on the past couple of weeks and all the travel and, you know, 38 hours of travel time back and forth to Florida this past week. You know, that's really a crazy amount of time to spend in airports and airplanes. And really, that's time that I would normally be spending down or sleeping in my own bed. So trying to look at things from a long-term perspective and being able to maintain the show and keep it stable and also keep the content great for all of you. So I know all of you will support me on that. Things are really, you know, those of you that have been around here for a long time will know already that there's not going to be that much of a change. Because, you know, I've made it kind of evident already of what's going on. But it is just going to be one of those things that I want to be here for all of you for a long time. And I also want to keep the content up on the show. One thing I've noticed, too, is that we had a little bit of a drop off in the month of May in the total number of listeners to the show. And I've been trying to kind of figure out where that drop off happened. And I saw enough of a little dip in May. You know, there's a huge number of you that tune in, but I saw enough of a dip in May that made me question what's going on. Why is this happening? So I'd love to hear some feedback from all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Is the content getting dry? Is my approach not as positive as it used to be? Because, you know, when you're pounding these out, you know, here we are going into our eighth year, it'd be real easy for me to slip and not produce the show at the level that you guys are expecting. And while there's been no emails basically saying, Todd, this is what's going on, or I'm leaving because of this, you know, I did see a little dip, about 5 or 6%. And that's not normally happens in May. In May, we're normally seeing an increase in numbers. And usually June, July, and August are the tough months. And so anyway, trying to kind of get a handle on that. So love to hear you guys' feedback, of course, at geeknews@gmail.com. So let me talk just a little bit about last week being in Jacksonville. It was twofold. I had some business down there, had some consulting to do, but I also wanted to attend the de-establishment ceremony for the sister squadron to what I used to be attached to when I was active duty Navy. Those of you that have been longtime listeners of the show, you know, for a number of years while I was doing the show here, I was active duty military, basically doing the show while actively serving. And there's a lot of people that create content like I do that are doing that. And matter of fact, I had lunch with a retired master chief that was down there that is basically does Windows Observer. He was doing his show while active duty, and he's now retired and doing his show full time as well. But I attended this the establishment of this great squadron, the old buzzards of VPU-1. Sadly, with budget cuts and everything going on, they consolidated the squadron into the squadron that I used to be attached to when I was active duty. And it's a pretty sad thing because the squadron did amazing things. And none that I can talk about publicly, but I will say that it's really one of those things that you just never believe would ever happen. And there was a lot of teary eyes and a lot of folks that were, you know, really left wondering, you know, why. And even I to this day asking why, because I don't fully understand the decision behind it. But I will say that some true professionals in a squadron that served honorably are now going to, you know, basically all different corners of the planet being reassigned, and gave me a chance to meet up with old friends and shipmates when I was active duty. It was really a nice time with them. So anyway, I know there's a few old buzzards that listen to the show. Hey guys, I hope that you have I hope that this establishment isn't the end, but yet a new chapter for you guys. So for those of you that are listening that are old buzzards, thanks for being part of the family, being part of my family as well. Hey, one thing we're going to do here is in May, in, you know, kind of in regards to thinking about you as an audience member of the show, and I promise I'm going to get into the tech here in a few minutes, but, you know, it really did have some time. I was taking notes on the airplane on the way home, thinking about things that we could do, and really May is going to kind of be listener and viewer month. I'm going to make this a month where we focus on you as an audience member, and remember that as I'm putting this content together, that it's all about the relationship you and I have and the content that I bring to you. So it's a little listener appreciation this month. And I want to thank again, all of you that have been here for a long time. Those of you that are new, thanks for being subscribed to the show and staying subscribed. And thanks for turning people you know onto the show. And thanks for sharing and putting out the word. And thanks for really being our kind of our Ohana or family army here of listeners. So what I want to do, I'm going to have a contest, and I'm going to give something away every show. And actually, I got an email from one of our listeners that apparently did not get an Apple TV recently, so I got to go back and reach out to that person because I'm 99% sure that I ordered and shipped because I make sure I'm doing that immediately now so I don't miss one. But for this show, what we're going to do is if you have any type of, if you do anything to promote the show, if you talk about it on Twitter, if you write a review on iTunes or on Zune or wherever it may be, any place you mention the show, just let me know that you did. You don't have to provide a link to it or anything like that. Just let me know that you did. geeknews@gmail.com. And I'll put you in for our first giveaway that we'll do on Thursday night's show. And I want to thank all of you that want to participate. Well, do you have some other kind of cool stuff throughout the month? And we'll continue to have some fun stuff. And it won't be stuff where you're having to promote the show every time, but you know, we'll do some stuff to give some stuff away to listeners of the audience. And then again, appreciation month. Hey, all right. One thing I've done is we've gotten kind of stable now with our bevy of shows at Geek News Central. We've got, of course, the two shows that I do, or actually three shows I do, Saturday Morning Tech, the Chrome Show, and of course, this show, Geek News Central. We've got the Gadget Professor and Robot Underpants. They're putting out shows every week. So I think it's time to think about adding one additional show to the site. So if you want to, or you're an aspiring content creator, drop me an email and let me know what your show idea is. And maybe you'll be the guy that will add on, or the lady that will add on. And I'd love to have a lady that is part of the GNC podcast family, and drop me a note if you want to be considered for a position, and we'll see about getting you started. And we're going to just focus on one right now. We're not going after any big numbers. We're going to get one more show added to the site. Okay. Coming back from Florida, boy, I tell you, just crazy. It was a huge, long flight, three different airplane changes, and got in here pretty late. But as I was flying back, one of the things I was also thinking about was exactly what we're going to do with the travel studio. And I got it all specced out and spent some money on Sunday ordering stuff from B&H. So it's going to be really cool. It really is. At a considerable expense, but it's going to make my life a lot easier for traveling. And I think the quality is going to really help on the travel show. And I did find a new portable green screen that's going to work out great as well. As you can see, the Ohanosaurus work is up and running. We still need to get some new icons in there. And of course, there will be a Saturday Morning Tech this coming Saturday. All right, let's take care of the last piece of business here. Obviously, I'm running way long in just my commentary tonight. So those of you that are just tuned in, I apologize that we haven't been digging into the tech. But I just wanted to take a little bit of time tonight again and just kind of talk to you guys and share and let you know where we're going. But, you know, being able to attach a face to a name is important. And many times, you know, I'm talking here on this show and I'm talking to you, and oftentimes we'll get email from you and I won't be able to put a face to the name. And it's, you know, when we go out and we have meetups and people come in, you guys know me, but I don't know you. So in order to put a face to a name, it enhances our relationships and it's really the way we work together. And today's age of being digital and on the move, you know, meeting with clients sometimes is over the phone is very impersonal. And we can get it personal. We can do that by using GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face, really, from anywhere in the world, even on the go from an iPad. So here's how it works. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD video. You can see the attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You instantly feel connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is just really easy to use. iPad users, just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. So I recommend GoToMeeting. I've used the iPad app multiple times. Matter of fact, I used it 3 times last week. And this is easy to start hosting meetings. All you have to do is really just go over to GoToMeeting.com. And let me bring up the website for you so you can see those of you that are viewing. Go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button, the orange Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. Be sure to use that promo code podcast after you click Try It Free, and definitely give it a try. We want to thank GoToMeeting and Citrix for being a longtime sponsor here, but really meeting face-to-face with HD Faces is absolutely awesome. It really is, and it's amazing how well it works with the iPad. You know, you can see up to 6 people on the top part of your iPad, and you see the presentation below, or you can turn it so you get it landscape mode and they're down the side and you can see across. It just works. It's really, really awesome. So tonight what I'm going to do is let me look at my list here of stuff that I talked about. Going to be going to Blog World, a new media expo in June in New York City. So we'll probably be doing a meetup in New York City. I'm going to be in there very short time. I'm going to fly out of here. Let's go ahead to that month. I'll probably fly out the night of the 4th. Which is my birthday, get into New York City the 5th, and then be there 6th, 7th, and then fly back on Friday of June 8th. So if we do a meetup, it'll probably be Thursday. Well, it all depends. I have to figure it out what day we'll do, but those of you in the Newark, New York City, metropolitan area, definitely we can do a meetup there in New York City. We're gonna be, I think I'm staying at the, close to the Javits Center at a Hilton property, so anyway, we'll talk about that more as we get near that time frame. Do have a couple other trips in May. Be going out to Washington, D.C. for a couple of days, and then where else? I think I'll be in Texas. I think I'll be in Austin. So there's 2 trips planned in May. So just got to, you know, this thing's it's a machine. It's got to be keep greased and keep moving forward, and that's the way it goes. All right, let me go ahead here and get into the tech content. And, oh, got an email here from John. And we'll talk about that on the next show. But John, thanks for the feedback. And I think I know what his response was, but we'll get into that later. That's cool. That's like instant feedback. I love that. I really do. Okay. I had to laugh today when I saw this one. And this is not a get up on your, you know, get up and stomp mode, but a study says that wind turbines, these green wind turbines, they're creating great energy for us, are raising the surrounding area temperature, but only at night, and they are having an effect on climate change. So you've got a windmill in the middle of a cornfield that's causing the temperature to increase. Now get this, 0.72 degrees. And it is contributing to global warming. why? Who cares? Who cares, right? The next thing we're going to know is people are going to be like, oh, you can't run the wind turbines at night. You can't. Oh, man. I wonder how much that person got paid to do that study. I really do. I just had to laugh. All right. There's an article that hit today by a gentleman that is well-known in the space. His name is Anil Dash. And here is the title of this. And it's something that it just resonates so strongly with me. He says, why you can't trust tech press to teach you about the tech industry. And his commentary is good, but here's my, and I'm going to link it up in the show notes. I'm going to let you guys read it yourself, but here's my commentary. You know, I spent really 24 years heavily embroiled in technology, advanced technology, and it was more on the hardware type of stuff, hardware and software. And so that was my background on the aviation side. And of course, I was a geek and handed the computer stuff and run a BBS. I consider myself a techie, all right? And usually, I can talk very good about, well, there's a great English, right? I can talk well and to the point on tech topics. But there are some that claim they're techies or bloggers out there that can say they have tech blogs that know nothing about technology. You know, they say they do, but all they really do is they're like a cow. They chew their food, they swallow it. It goes into one stomach, and when they're ready to really kind of process it, they regurgitate it up into their mouth and they chew it up, and it goes into the next stomach, right? So some tech guys, all they really do is regurgitate stories. And I hate to make it that graphic, but oftentimes they'll add a little commentary or they'll try to put a little spin on it. You know, obviously during the show, I talk about tech and I give you guys my spin. So maybe I'm not so different in that standpoint. But one thing that I've told all of our writers at Geek News Central is even if you're writing about a topic that someone is talking about, I really want you to write your own article. I want you to come up with your own piece and your own opinion and not regurgitate what someone has said. You know, we don't get a lot of scoops per se. We're not a TechCrunch. We're not an Engadget. We're not a Gizmodo. The audience that comes to GNC is obviously probably a little different. And you know, I'm sure most of the audience at GNC reads those other blogs, in which it should because they're big, right? And they usually do a very good job. But at the same time, you know, I read some stuff on some of these other tech blogs. I'm like, you know, did you just cut and paste what you just read? Did you take time to really look at the issue, and did you, you know, look at the piece of software? Or did you, you know, what, how did you really look at it? And I try to do that on this show and on the website. And I think that's what makes us different. Are we doing it successfully? I don't know. You know, we're paying people to write and we're being able to support the show through this audience. So I think so. You know, I guess that's the main thing. My family's being fed because of this show. And, do we get the type of traffic that a Gizmodo or an Engadget does? No, I wish we did. If we did, I'd have 10 people sitting, you know, in an office here in Honolulu, and not, you know, and we'd have a, you know, more formal setting. But it works. What we have now is fantastic, and we got great writers on the site. So I think the main thing is, and the thing I try to do here is I try to do my homework. And oftentimes, if I find an article that I'm not 100 up to speed, I'll kind of cover it in the show. What I'll try to tell you too is maybe I don't know the full story, and I'll try to give you what I need, but tell you to go in and read the story yourself and get informed with the direct story that was linked. So I think that he's right. There's a lot of tech bloggers out there that put out crap, and I hope we don't do that here. And I want you to call me on it if we do. You know, if there's something that comes up that is not right, or if I report on something wrong, or a writer's report on something wrong, I expect you guys to hold us to a higher standard and say, hey, that was wrong, or you missed that. And you guys do. So, you know, you say, hey, Todd, you need to go back and reread that article. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'm here at the end of the day and it's like, oh, I'm dragging to get through stuff. And I'll miss stuff. You know, I'm not perfect either. But, he's got some great points here. And this is kind of goes along with some of the things I've been thinking about on this show. And I try to make sure that we preserve the major pieces of the story and we're able to put our opinion into it so that you guys can become more informed and understand, you know, what's going on in the tech space really at all levels. And I know that we have all levels of people that listen to the show. We have super techs and we have moms. And not to disparage moms, moms are the hardest workers of all the whole different groups. And we remember Mother's Day is coming. So, you know, it is a, you know, full gamut here. And I try to cover that full gamut. And while at the same time, try not to ever speak down to anyone and have you guys here as part of the conversation. So anyway, I just completely agree with what Anil said there. I have the link in the show notes. You guys can read through yourself and love to hear your feedback on this. geeknews@gmail.com. All right, I want to get on the soapbox here for a few minutes. And, you know, I've been on this copyright, RIAA, MPAA stuff for a while. You guys are probably sick and tired of me talking about it. But it's a great article over in TechDirt to just really hammers home the point I continue to make is, you know, I've had a few issues with the videos that I've been creating here that when I try to put up on YouTube, if I have any type of clip that I have played, if I've played a video clip or something else in the show and it has any type of music background, I'm getting popped. And so what I've had to do is I've had to stop playing spots on the show that were tied to anything having background music, because as soon as you do, you get a copyright violation. So this guy by the name of Brian Lasora points out the unfortunate case of a guy by the name of Steve Cardinal. This is over on Tech Dirt. And he was Steve Cardinal was apparently, he makes some pretty cool videos on YouTube and gets a huge amount of traffic, like a million views per video. So, you know, this guy's a top guy at YouTube. And I'll I'm going to hit two buttons at once. And what he does is he makes funny sketches with some of the most popular songs, and then he plays in 3 to 10 seconds of a popular song. And these things have gone viral. He uses very little of the actual song in the clip, but yet he's gotten 2 takedown notices for just using a tiny sliver, just a tiny itty bitty little sliver of a song in his content. And there's really something wrong when a guy cannot take in a parody or in a comedy clip, use 3 to 10 seconds of some music video or some song and without getting popped for a copyright violation. We are in a bad spot, and it's a very sad state of affairs. And I just have to agree that at some point, this has to give up. And, you know, I think we're going to start calling this copy fraud. When people start using, when a company's coming into a copyright takedown notice for 3 to 10 seconds of someone using a little itty bitty piece of some music in his video, let's start calling that copy fraud, because really that's what it is. And these companies need to get a grip. Now, that leads into the next story, talking about these trolls that are out there. Well, there's a metal band, and I once in a while I listen to a little metal, not too much. First of all, it drives my wife crazy if I play any metal. And I was not at all familiar with this band called All Shall Perish is the name of the band. And what's going on, though, is on Friday, a lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida. And basically, they're going after 80 fans of this show for supposedly sharing a track off of their latest album. And this latest album, This Is Where It Ends. And the band came back and said, huh? What do you mean someone's suing our fans? We don't know anything about this. And so the band manager reached out to the label trying to find out what was going on. And basically the band said the band wasn't consulted whatsoever. None of us had ever heard of the company that filed the lawsuit. Well, it appears that the label had sold a single track, the copyright rights to a single track of their music to a company. And that company, called World Digital Rights Incorporated, are now suing people that are basically sharing this content via peer-to-peer sites. So here you got a band that says, whoa, you're hurting our members. We consider ourselves to be independent, and we're not up to suing people. So the label had taken their track that the label owned the rights to, the copyright rights to it. That's the way it works in most of these signed deals when artists sign their lives away to a label, and they resold and for how much we don't know, resold the rights. But anyway, World Digital, they want $150,000 each from each person that shared. So we'll see where this goes. But this is, again, abuse of the copyright system. This is copy fraud. You know, here you've got, and according to the law, it's not copy fraud. It's legitimate copyright violation, and the legitimate copyright holder apparently is able to go out and try to sue these people, yet the content creator is basically like, they're the ones that are going to be held accountable by their fans. Fans don't care. Fans don't understand how, you know, the copyright works on media. You know, when I did my book in 2005, Podcasting to Do-It-Yourself Guide, which was, for those of you who don't know, was the first book out on podcasting. When I signed the contract, I signed the copyright rights over to Wiley Publishing. With some exceptions, I basically got some provisions put in to be able to reuse portions of it on my website and quote it and use it in giveaways, you know, basically so I wouldn't get in trouble with a copyright violation of my own book. And basically what way they did that was they said, listen, we'll let you hold the copyright if you want. But as soon as someone takes your book and digitally publishes it in China, we want you to go after that group in China to enforce the copyright violation. It's going to be on you and your expense account. So I really didn't want to do that. So that was one of the reasons why I agreed when I wrote my book to allow Wiley Publishing to hold the copyright on the book, with me retaining personally the rights to the content and being able to do what I wanted within reason. So that I basically just couldn't put the book up on my website and give it away, which I wouldn't have done anyway, because I wanted to earn royalties off the book, which we did. And so this is why bands often do this as well. And something's got to change, because these trolls and this copy fraud out there is just going crazy. Now, not only that, but these prosecutions of people are taking years, and ultimately millions and thousands, you know, millions of dollars in lawyer fees, and often the companies end up with just getting a little bit of money. So it's a lot of lawyer time, and it's just ugly. It's something has to give. Don't you guys agree? You know, and this kind of rolls into my next topic. It talks about, and we've talked about journals here on the show already, but there's another great article on Tech Dirt, and for some reason, Tech Dirt hit two in a row tonight. And they've got an article out talking about Harvard, talking about Harvard not able to afford subscriptions to academic journals. And we talked about, you know, what got me started on this whole academic journal thing was there was a posting in the podcast mailing list, one of them I belong to on a Yahoo group. Basically, the person said, hey, if you come take a survey and let us know about your show, blah, 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 we're going to, you know, we'll give you access to the results. We'll send you the PDF of it. And by the way, we did one of these before with you guys. And if you want to go check it out, go check it out. And I did. And it said, hey, you got to pay us $40 to get access to the journal entry. And some, you know, one of these journal machines where you basically have to pay to play. So there's growing anger among scholars who say that their work is exploited by academic publishers. And the Scholar Revolt has spread to Harvard. And basically, Harvard has basically had it. Harvard's annual costs for journals from their providers now approach $3.75 million. Now, this was in 2010 prices. The comparable amount accounted for more than 20% of all periodical subscription costs and just under 10% of all collection costs for everything the library acquires. So just think about that. So, you know, Harvard, very distinguished university. You get a degree from Harvard, you're set from life, and you can almost, you know, you're going to be able to demand a much higher pay rate when you go to do a job interview. But they said some journals cost as much as $40,000 per year, others in tens of thousands. Prices for online content from two providers have increased by 145% over the past 6 years, which far exceeds not only the consumer price index, but also the higher education library price indices. So our Harvard Facility Advisory Council has come up with solutions. This can't continue. It cannot continue. And so what are they going to do? They're going to make sure that all of their papers are they're going to make sure that all of your own papers are accessible by submitting them to DASH, which is called Digital Access to Scholarship at Harvard. So in other words, anyone's going to be able to submit their papers to them. They're asking writers to consider submitting articles to open access journals or to ones that have reasonable, sustainable subscription costs. So they're going to move to a more open model. And number three, they're saying if on the editorial board of a journal involved, determined it can't be published as open access material or independently from publishers, that practice pricing described above, if not consider resigning. In other words, they say just walk away from the journal. And with over 10,000 academics now who have joined the Elsevier boycott, you know, this is, you know, another big body on these journals saying we've had enough. And, you know, here you've got academics writing papers. They're going through academic review and then they get published. They have to get published into a journal. And then the journal takes the work that you did largely under tuition or for free or as an academic that's writing stuff to get grants and so forth, then you have to pay to get access to that person's writings. And oftentimes there's government funding involved it's a project where the professor is writing a paper on something and he's done it with government funds or state funds. And then it's still, you have to pay to access it. It's just broke. And so Harvard's upset. And I think we're going to see more of this. And hopefully over time, these published works will start becoming more accessible through an open process. Now, on the legal side, today, Facebook likes, at least in the first initial legal challenge, are not protected by the First Amendment. So essentially what happened was that a employee was fired by a sheriff's department after they liked the Facebook profile of someone running for election against their boss. Now, number one, probably not good head work to be a deputy or be a clerk or a client, you know, working at a sheriff's department, and then you go on Facebook, someone else that's running for that position, and it's, you're not working for them. So probably number one, wasn't good head work to do that. You can always support someone private, you know, help with a campaign and do different things without liking them on Facebook. But this person was fired and over liking them. So this is, you know, to me, it would be considered pretty serious. If you're being fired because you liked someone else's profile or liked a post, but the court has made a bad decision here, in my belief. The court's conclusion on qualified immunity may or may not be defensible, but the court veered off course in concluding that a Facebook like is not speech. And this guy goes on to say that wrote this gentleman that was responding to the court's ruling. He says, maybe the court slept through the Arab Spring and the many other instances of online activism in the past 5 years. Maybe the court is unaware of the robust body of First Amendment precedent, which says that protection for expression is not limited to just actual words. And responding to Texas versus Johnson, and this was a flag burning case. It's easy to dismiss Facebook likes as one of those mindless knee-jerk online activities we all routinely engage in that have little or no society value. Courts can discount Facebook friendship in other contexts and through some other cases that went on. But it's well off the mark to say that the likes were not speech for First Amendment purposes. So I have to agree. You know, you like something, you get fired over it. It's crazy. It really is. And these types of decisions always fascinate me. And it shows how the digital world is impacting what we're doing and how we're being affected and how our rights are being affected as afforded by the Constitution. So only time will tell where this is going to go. Boy, I've got a lot of stuff to get through tonight, and we're already 45 minutes in. Now, another topic here tonight, and this is a service bulletin that was sent out by the FBI. A series of flyers distributed to companies around the United States by the FBI and the Bureau of Justice Assistance appears to give workers and business owners exactly the following advice. Check this out. You might be just a terrorist if you pay for your coffee with cash. The FBI says, using cash for small purchases like a cup of coffee, gum, and other items is a good indication that a person is trying to pass for normal without leaving the kind of paper trail created using a debit or credit card for small purchases. I don't know about you, but small purchases on my debit card or credit card, first of all, you're hurting the business doing that because they have to pay a transaction fee for that. So if you buy a pack of gum for $1, immediately that company has lost 2.65% or whatever it may be that they're getting charged by their credit card. So, you know, they're saying, the FBI is saying that they want coffee shop owners and other customer service specialists to be on the lookout for people who are using cash. Cash is evil. What is wrong? This is amazing. Are we back in the days of McCarthyism? Did you see that guy? He just paid $3.11 for his soda and bag of chips at that 7-Eleven. We must follow him. He must be a terrorist. I would laugh if this to me is, I was looking for the punchline. This has got to be, can't be true. Be careful if you're using cash out there, folks. All right, let's talk about Mega Upload. MegaUpload.com has got money, Mercedes, and a whole bunch of other stuff back involved in, and also has apparently been involved in the political scandal. So .com is going to get back $750,000 New Zealand or $614,000 in cash. They've been confiscated from him in addition to his Mercedes-Benz G55 AMG worth $250,000 with a license plate police. .com has also continued to receive $16,000 in monthly living expenses off the interest of his New Zealand $10 million government bonds. His wife will also get her living expenses and medical bills paid, and she will have use of their seized 2010 Toyota Velfire worth $60,000. So apparently, the case is not going good. The government has screwed up. That, of course, the high court lawyer ruled that a court ordered seizure issued in January was not valid. So anyway, he's getting some of his stuff back. And not only that, apparently .com made a donation to a political person over, did two small $20,000 each donations. And apparently he's saying he had, there was asked to kind of hide it when he donated it, this council person. So looks like the story continues. I'll be very surprised if he ever gets deported. Now, in the UK, insanity has ensued. The United Kingdom High Court ruled on Monday that the Pirate Bay must be blocked by all Liquinet internet service providers, thereby cutting it off for potential use base of over 50 million users. You know, blocking the Pirate Bay is pointless. They're going to find ways around this. And but at what point do judges start to censor and have higher censorship control over what we can get to on the internet? Should be a very scary thing to think that a government can censor. This is what this is, can censor what sites you can go to on the internet. Not to say that the sites you go to are doing legal activity, but at least you have the ability to do what you want. So this is a shocking ruling. Of course, the UK entertainment industry is applauding the outcome. And of course, digital and civil rights groups have said, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Infringing upon our rights. We will see where this leads. Hey, you like Hulu? Have you cut the cord? Well, the sun may be about to set on one of the best web-based video on-demand services. According to the New York Post, Hulu will soon require that you prove you pay a TV subscription to watch shows on the streaming service. They are trying to do everything they can to preserve and save the cable industry because that's where they get the most of their money from. On the security side, equipment maker has been caught installing a backdoor. And the only reason that they're going to remove the backdoor from their firmware on these hardware devices is because it got called out. A company called RuggedCom, which makes switches and different devices that are used in the electrical grid, used by the military and a variety of other vendors, commercial vendors. Apparently, you could log on to this thing easy. It wasn't like complicated and easy to hack. And they've known for a year they've had an issue. But apparently, until someone called them out and announced publicly after they had warned them multiple times that they're going to do so, RuggedCom finally agreed to basically patch their systems and remove the back door and any semblance of ways to get into it remotely. So we'll see where this goes. But again, more infrastructure stuff being impacted. SETI is going to be helping the U.S. Air Force track space junk. They've signed a contract with them. They're going to be doing that. So that's kind of cool. They're going to be using their big array. Along with that, a Soyuz has landed safely in Kazakhstan. And so a Soyuz spacecraft carrying three International Space Station crew members landed safely in Kazakhstan this past Friday. And so they had on board were NASA astronaut Dan Burbank, Roscosmos cosmonaut Antonov Ivanishin, and Anton Sokolov. I just destroyed those names, who spent 5 months in space. So they're back, and they're going to be replaced in a May launch with three more members. We're just about 100 days away right now from the touchdown of Curiosity. So this is exciting. We're going to be in the Mars landing business here again very soon. So cannot wait to see this happen. Of course, one of our rovers is still doing well on the ground. It's been there forever, but it's about to be joined by the newest rover. And of course, that'll be an exciting time. We'll have that coverage here as live as it can be. You know, they've been saying Moore's Law was going to end forever. Another physicist has come out and said that after the next 10 years, Moore's Law is going to be very hard to sustain. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Hey, any of you are using the Sirius XM iPhone app? I've got a Sirius XM account. I use it basically for live streaming stuff when I can't get some content here that I want to listen to. Or once in a while, the guy's insane. But just the stuff he's able to get away with, that just amazes me. But it's official. The best feature of Sirius XM iPhone has now been removed. And it was basically the ability to, you could select to go back 5 hour rewind. That's been removed from a number of channels over licensing issues. So don't update the app. if you have already, it's too late. The feature is gone and good luck going backwards. But again, 5 hour rewind will not be available on every station for those of you that use the Sirius XM app. All right, today Microsoft announced a big one. Barnes & Noble marriage of necessity with Microsoft. $300 million has been invested by Microsoft. Essentially what's going to happen is that Barnes & Noble will spin off its Nook business, and that software giant Microsoft is going to be investing in the company, setting up in competition with Amazon. Microsoft will own 17.6% of the new company, temporarily named NewCo. So The partner said the investment will allow NewCo to accelerate the introduction of the Nook bookstore in international markets and give a shot to of innovation to the development of the new e-ink Nook reader. So this is a deal that apparently both companies needed. They're real happy about it. And so we'll see what happens with this. But Microsoft is obviously a little bit nervous, and they're branching out in what they invest in and become partners in. So we'll see where this leads and if this leads to some competition with Amazon. Hey, Oracle versus Google trial has went to the jury. Does not look good for Google. There's been some pretty disparaging things said about Google over this trial. So what this boils down to is Google copied the Java infrastructure and sequence into the Android core library. Google copied the API documentation into Android's API documentation, and Google copied the Java code. You know, Google copied from Java code into Android code and didn't pay the folks at Oracle anything. And this could end up being very expensive for Google. And they say it's not trivial. There's very substantial copying that Google engaged in. And some of the emails that were shared, holy smacks. They knew about it. And the jury's out. We'll see where this lands and how much it's going to end up costing Microsoft in the penalty phase if they're ruled against. But it doesn't smell real good for them. And, we'll see what the price is. And, of course, you know, Google had been defending fair use of Java, and that's what they argued in their closing statements, and we'll see how far that takes them. Over on TechCrunch, it's being reported that the Dig team is going to the Washington Post, but supposedly the Dig assets are not. This is just late breaking this afternoon. We don't know if the Washington Post has acquired Dig. But there has been some movement here, and the Washington Post has no comment, which means a announcement is pending. So we'll see where this leads over the next day or two. But kind of a weird acquisition, Washington Post getting Dig. It just, of course, Dig has kind of fell off the cliff here over the last couple of years. All right, next article up. You just got to love this stuff that's coming in from Canada still. Coming in from Japan from the tsunami. A Harley Davidson that was lost in Japan is washed up in Canada fully intact in the trailer or the storage container it was in. Of course, it doesn't look too good. Things look pretty bad, in fact. But, this Harley made it, and it was still standing upright. It's just amazing. You know, the weirdest things. We're going to see more weird stuff coming from Japan. But the container still held a whole bunch of items, golf clubs and a bunch of stuff. The guy said when he found it, the door was open. So how this didn't roll off and end up in the bottom of the ocean, I don't know. But, more weird stuff coming out of, from the tsunami in Japan. Hey, we had covered a product at, CES. Matter of fact, Courtney Wallen did, as part of the team members. It was called the RHP Mirror Case. It's doing a Kickstarter for this. And they're 28 days to go and about $21,000 before they're fully funded. But what this is a new way to take pictures. It lets your iPhone be laid flat and or basically horizontal, a little bit angled up. And it allows you to take pictures of it without holding on to it. So this is going to be available on the Kickstarter. So you definitely want to consider checking that out. Of course, tonight, if you've got comments on tonight's show, I want you to email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. You can reach me at Twitter @geeknews. Hey, one thing that I've seen here is today was an article come up by a guy by the name of Paul Miller. He was writing for The Verge, and he announced in no certain circumstances today that he was leaving the internet for a year. And of course, he's already on the West Coast, so he's already started his 1 year of no internet. And I just, okay, he's not going to have no TV, no internet, no email, nothing. He's not going to do anything on the net for the next year. He's a reporter. He's a tech writer. And he's going to disconnect for a year? All right, this is a novel thing, but, you know, how many... I went. You guys know, after 9/11, I've told the story many times. I went 76 days without email, without the web, without telephone, nothing. And I'm going to tell you, it was rough. You know, when you're used to being connected every day, all day, morning, night, and evening, being able to get your internet fix, and that's really what it is. We all get our internet fix. And to go 76 days, boy, I tell you, it's not a 12-step program any of you want to go through. But to think that this guy voluntarily is going to go free, he's going to be in withdrawals. He is going to be like biting his fingers. He's going to start smoking or something. There's no way I would do this. No way. I'm sorry. It's not happening. You know, I don't get it. Why would you do this to yourself? He's making some sort of green political statement. Enjoy yourself, Paul. Knock yourself out over the next year. He's not taking text messages. He's not going to use his mobile phone. Of course, no one's going to be there to watch him, but we'll see. We'll see where this goes. All right, the folks at SpaceX, and I didn't even know you could do this with an aircraft on the pad, but SpaceX today test fired the engines for its Falcon 9 rocket in preparation of the delayed May 7th launch of its Dragon capsule. So the static test fire lasted like, I think the motor started for like 3 seconds and they shut them off. And this thing's on the pad, ready to rock and roll. And, you know, I thought once you lit the candle, this was it. You're going flying, but, guess not. But you're going to watch the replay of the event. It's kind of anticlimactical. It's not that big of a video show, but, they show lighten it off and it runs for a few seconds and they shut the motors down. So I guess this was just their way of checking the motors out to make sure they were good to go. Those of you that have Canon cameras, and of course, I have a 60D here that I just love. But they've come up with a new application called Trigger Trap. And Trigger Trap is a new way to activate your camera, your flash, or your basically be able to take a picture with an iOS device. So pretty cool. This is about a Kickstarter event, and now it's available for about $75. You basically have to connect it with a cable and you use the app, but it's pretty slick. I'll have the link up in the show notes. There's multiple ways to trigger your camera to take a picture with this with the Trigger Trap. Watch the video on the website and you'll get fully dialed in. Hey, Dish Hopper, you know, I thought we covered a company at CES that had this particular product, but Dish Hopper is for those of you that are Dish users. You can put this DVR in there and record up to 6 channels at one time. So don't know the pricing on it, but I've got a link here for a review that was done. Very extensive review. Probably one of the best reviews I've seen written up on a device in a long time over on Engadget. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But if you've got Dish as your provider, you'll definitely want the Hopper to be able to record 6 channels at once. All right, it's being reported by Akamai that internet speeds dropped around the world by 14% to just 2.3 megs per second during the last quarter of 2011. They can't figure out why, but net speeds overall dropped. Maybe it's just because more people are coming on and more remote countries and the speed isn't as great. Maybe that's one of the reasons why. I don't know. Hey, one thing that they're starting to do with technology is they're coming up with some really cool stuff. In the Tour de France, they were monitoring athletes with a device that the athletes wore that was tied to Bluetooth devices. So what they're going to do is there's a Kickstarter project. They're trying to raise $50,000, and they're basically trying to build devices that will monitor people for heart attacks and basically keep track of your health and a variety of other services, not only so that to track health, but it could be used to work with location-based services, triggering updates to your phone, giving you different information. So this is a pretty cool little project using little mini Bluetooth modules. And so they're trying to come up with all kinds of cool stuff with this. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Hey, those of you that are using Skype on your iPhone or your iPad, definitely want to update that. There is new features in version 4. You're going to be able to do a video preview. The app auto restarts if it drops down. Has improved accessibility, stability. Has updated design for contacts and messages. New sign-in screen. Of course, a bunch of bug fixes. So check that out. The new Skype app is available. And happy birthday to the web today. The web turned 19. Now, that's not completely a story, but Alan, one of our writers here at Geek News Central, basically, this was the day that the World Wide Web opened and ended up going open source. The initial World Wide Web tool, the original browser, is still available for download today. It's very small. You can download it in seconds, but April 30th was the day that the web essentially went open source on HTML5 and hyperlinks. And the last article, I'm just going to link it up in the show notes. If you've been looking at cloud services, I've got a rundown of the variety of cloud services and what you can get from them for a price. All right, I got a voicemail. We're going to play that here right now that came into the show. Just previewed it for about 2 seconds to make sure it wasn't a crank call. But I'll play this, and then we'll get into the email, and we'll get out of here. Again, if you've got comments tonight on the show, Geek News is the Twitter account, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, the show hotline is 619-342-7365. I'm looking again. If you want to be eligible for a prize, mention the show, tweet it, link to it from your blog, write a review. Just send me an email. You don't have to tell me what. Where the link was, just that you did it and that you want to participate in contest number the first contest in May. We'll put you in the running for the prize on Thursday. All right, let me go ahead and hear and play the spot and make sure you guys can hear this. Here we go.
Hey Todd, this is Seth from Michigan giving you a call.
Hey Seth.
I was listening to your episode 754. And you were talking about some hard drive diagnostic utilities. You had specifically mentioned crystal disk info. Just wanted to clarify a little bit.
Sure.
I do agree. Great application. The reason why it's extremely fast is because it's not actually performing any diagnostics.
Huh.
It's actually just reading what is currently already saved on the hard drive in a log of sorts called SMART. Sometimes some users will recognize SMART from when you turn on your computer and you'll see a DOS prompt saying, SMART has detected imminent hard drive failure. Please go out and buy a new hard drive really soon because you're going to lose your data soon if you don't. That, if I remember correctly, you need to have a few different aspects failing. So you need to have a specific number of errors, for example. You need to have a slower spin-up time, things like that. So every hard drive has a particular number of errors, and that is normal and expected. But after it gets to a certain point, then SMART will alert you and say hard drives could be failing. Crystal Disk Info will do is show you numbers that are nearing that threshold and also show you what particular ones are the issue. Something such as hard drive errors, bad sectors, you can actually run an application called SpinWrite, and it will actually go through and recognize the areas of the hard drive that are failing or have already failed and mark those as broken areas of the hard drive and allow you to use the remaining areas that do work. So Crystal Disk Info is a great application to recognize when hard drive failure is imminent. It's not a fail-safe method, but it is a good starting point. If you do find issues, like I said, SpinWrite from Steve Gibson is a great application. And if you just search SpinWrite Steve Gibson on Google, it will come right up. believe he charges $70 for the app. It's a lifetime purchase. When you purchase it, then you get updates. From version 1, you update all the way up to version 6, I think it is on now. So just thought I'd clarify there. Thank you for the great show, and keep it up. Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for the clarification. That's always good follow up for stuff we cover in the show. I definitely appreciate it. And feel free to call in again. Again, that show hotline is 619-342-7365. I got an email here from Kevin. Say, Todd, your podcast is not working on iTunes. The episode will not download. Longtime listener Kevin. Hey, Kevin, I tried to duplicate that. Could not find any issue. If any of you ever run into that problem where the media will not download from iTunes, when you reply on your when you send me an email, let me know where you are in the country. Because what happens is the CDN grabs all the media and then it distributes it to multiple locations in different POPs across the country. And sometimes what happens is a file may not get copied into a POP correctly. I can go in and actually force the CDN to regenerate and repopulate the POPs. But if I don't know where you're at, I really can't do any additional troubleshooting. So if any of you run into that, please let me know. And that way I can go back to the CDN also and scream at them for essentially a drop in the ball. And we can come back and come after them with some reliability credits and so forth. Got this really at the beginning of the show tonight when I asked for some show suggestions, and I got one from John. He said, hey, Todd, I was listening to your show tonight when you asked for feedback from long-term listeners. I'm not a long-term listener. I'll get my feedback anyway. Have you thought of doing the ad/contact info in the middle of the show? You were 10-plus minutes in before any tech news is discussed at all. I really don't know if that would account for any viewers leaving, but it just seems like it should get to the point of the show a little faster. Sorry to be blunt. Just my opinion. Take or leave it, John. And I think what it is, John, is that the show has, the show format has been successful for 700 plus episodes. We've only seen just a minor drop this past month, but it's always been about talking about the family, talking about stuff going on in the space. At the beginning of the show, just kind of my way to chat to the Hana members, the family members of the show. And we get, normally what happens is I'll get, basically a comment like yours, and then I'll get 25 that said, no, don't change the comment. So it's always been this huge, response opposite to what you suggested, but I'll take that on board. I definitely appreciate it. Thanks for the feedback. And, I guess what it just basically boils down to is if enough people says, you're taking too long at the beginning of the show, I'm taking too long at the beginning of the show. But to this point, it's been pretty good because I've actually kept the beginning remarks a little bit shorter from historical averages. And maybe that's a problem. Maybe I'm not spending enough time at the beginning, which I don't even think is right. But anyway, that's it for tonight, folks. And we actually still finished hour 13. We didn't do too bad on time. And it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Again, May is Listener Appreciation Month. I appreciate you guys for being here and being part of the family. Thanks for, staying subscribed and sharing the information about the show. And definitely tell everyone to check the show out. Subscribe in iTunes. And let's help build the Ohana here. And again, don't forget about the contest. We'll see you again Thursday. It's great to be back in Honolulu. Great to be back in the studio. Great to be back here with my family and to be at home, I think, for 3 weeks. But until next time, everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.